You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles, recorded on the 5th of January, 2012. This week, we're going to be talking about all sorts of things, including, but not limited to, the German employment figures that recently came out, RIM's trouble in 2012, and the Swedish religion that got recognised this week, and a few other things.
That's right, we're going to be talking about 3D printers that print out the things you've made in Minecraft. And sticking to that 3D theme, we're going to have a bit of a debate with the listeners to see whether 3D really is the next big thing, or if it's just a fallacy. Also, there are a whole host of events coming up soon that we're going to talk about.
There are. Specifically, the ones we're going to be talking about are BET, the world's largest educational technology show, and CES, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah, not to mention hearing from lots of people about what events that they're going to be going to, and indeed running. So here it is.
Who let the geeks out? It's Ben and James on the Geekly Chronicles!
So, in amongst all the things that we're going to talk about today, we want you to tweet us, of course, with your predictions for 2012, because lots of people are predicting lots of things happening, primarily the end of the world, I think, but there's other exciting things, I'm sure, that are going to happen, which are a lot less devastating than the end of the world, so tweet us.
So let's think slightly more positive than the end of the world. Who do you think is going to die in 2012? Who do you think is going to live? Are people going to spontaneously come back to life?
Or spontaneously combust?
Yes. Are any major world landmarks going to be destroyed? Are any new ones going to be built? What technology is going to be released? And what's going to be that news story at the end of the year that everyone goes, oh, I didn't see that coming?
I think it's going to be you being crowned Queen of Monaco.
Thank you. I look forward to my royal reception there. Yeah, fantastic.
Anyway, speaking of good news, it's, you know, last week we were saying it was not a good year to be a dictator. Currently, it is a good time to be German, or at least employed in Germany, because German unemployment fell to its lowest rate in December since 1991, which sits totally opposite to the statistics we told you about last week, where we said that...
last week felt very doom and gloom.
It was doom and gloom.
The
young
market.
People were the most unemployed people in
Thou
the UK.
Thou shalt not earn.
Numbers were bad and people were sad and it was all going wrong. However, it seems that if you're in Germany, everything's going right, because the Germans seem to be very, very efficient and very good at being good. So, how can we mimic Germany's success? And how can young people help turn that statistic from being bad into good? Is a question I am asking you.
Me?
Specifically you.
I think that...
You don't have an opinion, do you?
It's the food.
It's the food.
Too many E-numbers.
What? So the German sausages and beer help employment levels go up?
Yeah, so I'm not going to sit here on air and say that we ought to give every child a flagon of beer and that will help improve our employment. Maybe if we gave all of the interviewers a flagon of beer, people would get more jobs. But no, it would be interesting to hear your thoughts around you know, what is it that Germany is doing? What are some of the things that Germany is doing, James, to actually to help encourage people into work?
Well, I think it's around just manufacturing and just kind of basically, you know, Germany's had a hard time, let's face it, over the last several decades in terms of, you know, war and being split and, you know, all of these other things. So it has typically had a bit of a hard time around employment. But as I say, it fell apparently during 2011. And basically, since the wall came down in 1989, unemployment had risen to nearly 12%. But it's now fallen below 7%, which is really good. But that seems to be down to attracting manufacturing, apparently because wages are lower. And technology seems to be playing a role in that as well. There seem to be lots of very enthusiastic and largely successful startups appearing in Germany. And yeah, I just think that probably it's a case of times are bad, so things get less restricted, things are made easier, and they're doing themselves a favour, which is obviously leading to all of this employment, which is something that we're not having. So we need to do more to be less restrictive.
So you think there are too many restrictions in place that stop people stop people hiring, as well as kind of hiring for skilled jobs and work as well. I mean, everyone knows that the more jobs there are, the more competitive the job market becomes. Therefore, the better quality jobs there are.
Well, yeah, my personal view on it is that you have to speculate to accumulate, and yet employing people is expensive, but you have to have people employed in order to actually get anywhere. So, yeah, okay, I understand that, you know, making people redundant and downsizing might seem like a tempting idea, but actually I think it might actually do more harm than good in a lot of cases. So I just think that people need to be a bit more forward thinking, and rather than thinking about what's immediately on their bank balance, they need to think ahead. So a good time to be German, I think you'll agree. Or at least Germany.
I'm sorry, James, I accidentally turned you down there.
Thanks.
No problem. So, the mobile phone manufacturer Research in Motion have been in the news a lot over the past 12 months, haven't they?
They have, not for good reasons.
Well, it seems that every month there's been another RIM situation in which it's been all over the news, and it's not been fantastic for users. We all use different platforms and have different service providers. I make use of various different phones and various different contracts, and BlackBerry is unique in the way that it runs its service, in that with other phone manufacturers and phone contacts, you buy a handset, you pop a SIM card in, and you've got mobile internet, the telephone connection, texting, all of that, and it's all just done through generic services, whereas the Research in Motion model with BlackBerry is that you subscribe to their services, you get the internet from them, from their servers, their services. Everything is routed through Research in Motion. You can't get ahead on your phone without going through RIM. And so it's a very, very different service to how many other handset providers run. And I think that it's really starting to see that.
Well, you're introducing a single point of failure, aren't you? And wherever you've got a single point of failure,
it failed. It really has this last year. You've got, their big outage that they had last year. I mean, that went on for days. It was back in October, wasn't it? I was just trying to see if I could find the exact date, but I can't.
Well, needless to say, I mean, the outage and, low sales for their playbook and just basically kind of falling behind where they were once ahead has led to probably some very tough conversations internally. As many of you might know, and some of you don't, RIM actually have co-CEOs, so two guys head up the business, and they were chairman as well. And yep. I wouldn't want to be those guys right now.
Well, no, and it kind of, even in the news just before Christmas, they're having to delay the launch of new BlackBerry phones as well. So they're saying that the BlackBerry 10 phones, which are supposed to represent a big leap forward in their OS, aren't even going to be available until late 2012. And while we're now in 2012, we're right at the start of it. And so it is kind of the BlackBerry 10 phones are supposed to be their new operating system, their big leap forward to compete with iPhone and Windows Phone and Android and all those other platforms that are very much more on the up at the moment.
Yeah. And as I say, it's somewhat of a fall from grace because, as I mentioned last week, I had a BlackBerry before my friends, then all of my friends kind of jumped on board and they exploded with this massive wave of popularity, especially around their instant messaging BBM service. Everyone seemed to have them. And now, all of my friends are coming to their renewals and saying, do you know what? I quite fancy a different phone. And they're all moving away, and that can't be good.
And as much as people are still buying phones and people are still paying for the service, in the past few months, their service outage cost them $40 million. But not only that, but they came out with a tablet a little while ago, the BlackBerry Playbook, and they had to the Research in Motion had to undersign a charge of $356 million just for unsold tablets.
That's your appearance fee, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what people pay for to get me at events. And so that is what RIM have had to pay for.
Wow.
This year, and that's all come off of things. So I think, you know, the company's on a bit of a decline. Now, the CEOs that you mentioned earlier, it is, I was drinking their names, Bastille and Lazaridis. Lazaridis, there we go. I should have really looked up how to say that before the show.
Well, I'm not sure if that's correct, I'm just assuming.
Yeah. So those guys have decided to take a salary for the next year of just $1.
Which each is, or between them?
Yeah, I'll take 50 cents, you take 50 cents. Now, so they've decided to take a salary of $1 for the year between the two of them. Don't worry, folks, they have probably got enough money to survive for the next year.
I would suspect so.
And many people in the course of the tech industry have taken, you know, stopped taking their own salaries from their companies.
Didn't
because they've got
Steve
enough.
Jobs take a dollar salary?
He did. He only took a dollar for many years when he was CEO. You know, when your net personal wealth is big enough and you're earning money off the interest in that, I suppose you don't need to take it from your own company. So there are lots of rumours circulating around the CEOs as to whether that they're going to be replaced. The Financial Post says that Research in Motion are looking to replace Bastille and Lazaridis.
Is that how interesting the news is? It's so exciting.
Absolutely. I was just shocked by the hair on one of the CEOs. It's quite an impressive picture, really. It's like if Dr. Emmett Brown had a comb. Rimmer rumoured to be announcing that they'll give up their roles as chairman, and according to this article on The Verge, they'll likely be replaced by Barbara Steinmeist, I'm going to go with that, who was a former executive at a number of different companies and sits on Research in Motion's review committee. So it could be a very interesting year for Research in Motion.
It could.
Could be a very interesting year.
Could also be a very uneventful and boring year, and they could just fade away into obscurity. But
it could be, but I'd like to think that it'll be exciting.
Yes. Maybe they need to turn to a new religion.
Yeah, so you were telling me about this earlier, James. There's a new religion in Sweden.
There is. I'm not sure if it's exclusive to Sweden. However, Sweden has chosen to recognise a new file-sharing religion called Copimism. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. It could be Copimism. It's essentially this church whose central belief is the right to share files. And that's been recognised by the Swedish government. So, you know, in amongst all the major faiths, you can now be a member of this church, which I find just absolutely hilarious that that they've actually been allowed to be recognised. They hold apparently Troll C and Control V as sacred symbols.
Really?
Yes, indeed. Now, you know, they apparently don't promote illegal file sharing, which of course is wrong. Children, don't do that at home. But of course, file sharing can be perfectly legitimate as well. It's how lots of software is distributed, peer-to-peer networks and so on and so forth. So basically, yeah, it was apparently founded by a 19-year-old philosophy student, Isaac Gerson. And yeah, basically, it's kind of like, it's a bit of a weird story. I would say it would be almost a slow news day for many networks, but basically, since it's broken, it's completely crashed their website. They've had loads of exposure, but yeah, if you need a new faith this year, maybe Copimism is the one for you.
So it's quite interesting. I've been reading a web comic for a number of years called Control Alt Delete, and they have a festival around this time of year called Winterinmas that was originally kind of created by one of the characters in the comic strip, but people really ran with it. And so Winterinmas is a gamer's holiday. The whole of January is Winterinmas season, but from the 25th to the 30th of January is a celebration of gaming. And it says here, Winterinmas is a time to sit down with your friends and play some co-op, or just LAN for a bit. It's time to brighten up the dreary January by gaming. And I've always thought that was a really cool idea. Have a holiday for gamers. The idea being that you could just sit down and play games with people. It's all about co-op games and playing games with other people that you like as well.
Yeah, we see when you get into the whole debate around public holidays and holiday celebrations and corporate celebrations. I mean, personally, I think there should be a 12-month-long holiday for Diet Coke drinkers.
given the rumoured health implications of Diet Coke compared to regular Coke that you and I discuss on a regular basis, James, you may well need to take a 12-month holiday. But certainly I've already emailed my boss and said that I'll be taking the time off winter Eanmas, as it is part of my my very much controller-based religion. People come up with these things, and sometimes they actually...
Well, they stick, don't they?
They actually work,
They stick. Now, I mean, there are probably lots of other crazy religions out there. I mean, this one happens to have caught my eye in the news, but if you know of a stranger religion, let us know.
Certainly something that involves technology. But I myself will be celebrating Winter Eanmas this January.
Winter Eanmas.
Winter Eanmas, yes. And I'm building up to it. I'm slowly hoping that by the 25th I'll be good enough at a game to beat somebody.
That's the problem. Is
I'm rubbish.
And listeners, you haven't had this infinite pleasure of playing against Ben at a game. No matter how hard he tries, he can't win.
But that's
anything.
That's the beauty of it for me, because I don't care about the winning. For me, it's all just about the fun of playing. I'm competitive in other ways, but when it comes to gaming, I love just playing. I really don't care if I lose, which is brilliant because it means I can just join in any game without fear of am I good enough?
Yeah, but that's
because I never am.
That's what sandbox games are for. But when you're my teammate in a 2v2 at StarCraft 2, I kind of need you to be more proactive.
Well, yeah, but then you just tell me what to do. I haven't played StarCraft for a while, actually. I think I'll get to break some of that out during Winter Eanmas.
Neither have I. So to wrap that up then, if you need a new faith this year, or you know of a stranger faith, then let us know.
Absolutely.
Now, we mentioned sandbox games, and of course that leads us nicely onto Minecraft,
which we have mentioned on every show we've ever done, because we do quite like Minecraft.
We do.
And the really quite cool thing that we came across over the last couple of weeks, if you take Minecraft, and where people are building these beautiful structures, people are going into creative mode and building. I've seen someone build Grand Central Station, a complete replica in Minecraft. Somebody built a huge version of the weighted companion cube from Portal Minecraft, and that was awesome.
My personal favourite is the full-sized USS Enterprise D from Star Trek.
That's brilliant. People do build these things in Minecraft.
They must. Don't get me wrong, I spend hours, and I can just about muster a house and a mine.
Yeah.
How on earth these guys have the time to do this other stuff?
Well, and it's phenomenal. But the problem is that you have to have your screen there to show them to people. Well, actually, not anymore. The group of students from MIT have actually whipped up a piece of software called Minecraft.print. And basically, if you set the boundaries of your object, you can then press a button with your computer connected to a 3D printer, and this thing will take the structure from Minecraft, run it through the 3D printer, and it will come out with your Minecraft structure in real life in 3D.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's not life size because 3D printers just don't come that big, but you get a pretty awesome version of your Minecraft creation coming out of a 3D printer, which is absolutely fantastic. You can now create stuff in Minecraft and it becomes a real thing.
I've just had a really... Actually, I'm not going to say it's an amazing idea because you'll probably laugh, but imagine if you printed out your 3D Minecraft structures, you could put them onto like a railway, like a Hornby set.
That'd be amazing.
I'm excited now.
So, James and I are now going to go away for the next 8 weeks, create something useless in Minecraft, and print it out and play with
Hornby with it.
Yeah, so then we can play Minecraft when we're not in Minecraft.
Yay.
Fantastic. I just thought it was really cool. It's a great way to see the physical world and the digital world colliding.
Well, Minecraft aside, I'm actually quite excited by 3D printers because, you know, while it's quite an infant technology and you hear about these like rep-rap devices and all the rest of it, I actually think it's quite cool, and that some of the things that you can do with 3D printers already are mind-blowing. So I this is going to be the year of 3D.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles!
3D.
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 3D's had a long history. It's actually been around practically forever.
Yeah, going right back to the horrible green and red glasses in the 70s, yeah, 60s,
and,
whatever.
And I mean, the technology behind it is really interesting. So the reason why the old stuff didn't work is because it had a very narrow field of effect. You had to kind of sit head still in a particular place, and it just wasn't great for... Yep. Mass market, and it kind of died a death very quickly.
Well, and then IMAX did a load of 3D stuff with new technology and really pioneered some stuff, and it started coming back into mainstream cinema. But not just that, right? It's gone from being in the cinema and being a cinema gimmick to being something that people are trying to use in all kinds of different ways. Look at the Nintendo 3DS. Oh no, I get a headache every time I try to.
The Nintendo headache generator.
Yeah. So I've been so tempted to buy one of these for so long, since they came out, in fact. And even more tempted when they became so much cheaper. But I go into a shop and I play with it, and I think, oh, this looks fantastic. Ow, my eyes hurt. And then I keep playing it, I keep persevering, and then I look away from the 3DS.
I mean, I have to say...
And I suddenly realise that the world is a different kind of 3D.
I've never seen a 3DS in, you know, in operation. Like, I've seen plenty of them online, but I've never actually held one and seen the effect in real life. But... I do know plenty about the cinema experience, the Real D experience, and actually, it's a good experience. But my problem with it is that it's a massive, massive gimmick. And you had films that kind of pioneered the technology, like Avatar, and more recently Hugo, which, you know, for 3D effects, they're brilliant. But there just seems to be this Me Too, where they're going back and they're 3D-ifying films, Star Wars case in point, you know, or they're taking films that really shouldn't be 3D and just doing it badly, like, yeah, Clash of the Titans.
I mean, I haven't seen Hugo, but Avatar, with its huge use of 3D effects, then great. And I have to admit, I saw Avatar on an IMAX screen in 3D, and it was a phenomenal experience, but... The film still stands up on its own, and the 3D was phenomenal. It was a gimmick, but, you know, hey, it was still kind of cool to go and see. And like Tom says, 3D is a headache-giving gimmick. I think the thing with 3D is that it's not great for everyone. At television, you sit down in front of it, and if you can see, and if you've got, you know, eyesight correction in place, like glasses or contact lenses, or, you know, someone to tell you what the plot is, then you generally enjoy the TV experience.
I have to say, I used to work in a cinema many moons ago, and a man came in and he bought tickets to see a 3D film, and, you know, it looked perfectly normal, and bless him, we sold him the tickets and gave him the glasses, and he came out of the film halfway through and said, the 3D's not working. And we thought, well, what do you mean the 3D's not working? Everyone else is in there and it's all fine. And basically, he'd not realised and neglected to tell us that he was actually completely blind in one eye. And it wasn't going to work for him at all.
And that's the thing. People say 3D, right? Life is 3D, three dimensions. 3D is just, it's a stereoscopic image. It's two images that are aimed to go into your eyes at different points.
Exactly.
I'm sure you could explain it a bit more technically, but that's what the glasses do. They separate out those images. They put them in the right eye at the right time to give you the illusion of 3D.
Exactly, and it's absolutely an illusion. And as I say, films that do it badly really don't do the technology any justice at all. As I say, Hugo... high watermark, but Clash of the Titans, low tide.
I haven't seen either of those, but apparently I do need to see Hugo because it's good. Dan says 3D is only good when it's not a gimmick, so we were just talking about there. Use it to immerse me, not make me blink from a ping pong ball flying at me. Was Forrest Gump in 3D? It's the only film I can really think of that made extensive use of ping pong, but...
I'd love to see Forrest Gump in 3D, just to see amazing. Which bits they'd make 3D.
Yeah. Life is like a box of chocolates.
Never, never do that voice. Never do that voice again. Otherwise, you'll be doing this show on your own.
I'm great at accents.
No.
I can do all kinds of accents.
I'm sure you can. They all sound the same, which is rubbish. Back to the topic at hand.
It's like 3D radio.
Indeed. You can get 3D at home now, as we were saying.
Tweet which voice you want me to do, and the show magically starts coming through in that voice. It's 3D. You're looking at me with hateful eyes. So, 3D.
Yes, you can get 3D at home, as I was saying before you started to think that you're a better impressionist than you are.
Delusions of grandeur, my friend.
Indeed. I've not... Personally, I like to sit in front of the television and move around and relax without having to worry about having glasses on, let alone breaking them and having to pay a ridiculous amount to have them fixed.
Well, there are two different types of 3D TV in the home, right? You've got the passive and active. Different ones require different levels of technology. Some look better than others. Yep, the glasses can be expensive to replace. The ones with the cheap glasses don't necessarily look as good because it's a different type of technology. And, of course, then you need to have something that's broadcasting in 3D or a 3D movie or something like that. And not everything really has 3D versions or varieties. Now, the switch to HD for me was a huge leap. I got a HD TV. I re-got all of my films in HD. And phenomenal difference. It just looked so much better. I've gone to friends' houses with 3D TVs. And it doesn't feel like that big a leap to me. It doesn't feel like it's the next big thing. Next big leap forward in television.
I don't think it's the next big thing. And I think you're right in that HD was a logical step forward. It was kind of just really just, you know, as anything gets more refined and better, it increases in quality. And HD was just a refinement and an increase in quality. But I don't think 3D particularly increases the quality. It's just increases, I suppose, the experience. And if it's not appropriate, then it can take away from the experience, in fact.
Yeah, absolutely. And gratuitous use of 3D just ruins things sometimes.
Exactly.
Interesting comments from people here. So both George and Amir say, it seems I'm the only one whose eyes don't hurt when I play the 3DS. By the very virtue of the fact that two of you tweeted, I'm afraid that neither of you are the only ones. But it's fine. I'm sure that you two can cope with not being alone there. Smell-o-vision is the next big leap in TV. No,
I don't want smell-o-vision.
No.
And listen, believe me, listening to this radio show, sometimes you don't want smell-o-vision either.
it wouldn't be vision, really, but smell-o-scope.
Smell-o-scope, yes.
Smell-o-scope. Yeah, so...
They did do those scratch-and-sniff things. Do you remember years ago? They did a couple of TV programmes, and they would have, like...
Well, so I remember a Children in Need or a Comic Relief that when I was about, I don't know, 12... And you got in the Radio Times, you got your scratch and sniff card, and they had numbers on the bottom of the screen when you had to scratch the different things off. And I thought, oh, wow, this is amazing. All TV is going to be like this. But I was 12 and really had no idea what the world was really like, because it wasn't.
Well, no, not yet. But, you know, give it time.
And I was actually more than this. I was sat there probably going, oh, wow, this is the next big thing in TV, because that's... Obviously,
that's naturally what you sounded like
when I was 12. Yeah. It's what it sounded like up until I was about 23, actually. George says 3D is nothing until we can use it without those glasses. And now the 3DS Pros is an interesting point there because, yeah, it takes away the glasses, but it does add a bit of eye strain. And that's you know, why I find it uncomfortable to use, and other people do. It's not inclusive for everyone. If it gets to a point where it's great without the glasses, fine. Personally, holodeck. That's what I want.
Do you know, you read my mind, because that was going to be my next talking point. Yeah, holodeck technology. And, you know, I know that plenty of companies are already working on technology and coming up with some pretty interesting results. I don't know if you saw the Verge video. They actually got a tour of the Edison lab that Microsoft has, and I was blown away by that.
I want to go and work there. They're actually making holodecks. It's amazing. It's incredible, the fact that people are working on this. And it's great. That, for me, is going to be my next leap forward.
Oh, and they also had this thing specifically designed for couples where you can now watch two different images on the same screen. So one of you can be watching one film or TV program and somebody else sat next to you can be receiving a totally separate and different image, but you're both watching the same screen. So now no more arguments over what's on television.
That's fantastic. Until the odd scene gets mixed up and you get like a very disturbing episode of Doctor Who mixed with Desperate Housewives. Yeah,
you reach over for a crisp or to drink your tea and you kind of catch a glimpse and think, oh, that's not what I expected.
Well, that was not the regeneration I was hoping for.
No. Yeah, you see Pat Butcher dying and turning into Matt Smith or something.
That would be just an amazing... It reminds me, they did a Doctor Who... Children in Need special a while ago, the curse of the fatal death,
And the fatal death.
Yes, it was a parody. The Doctor regenerated 12 times during the sketch.
Wow.
And it was initially played by Rowan Atkinson, and it went right through, and it had the Master in it as well. And then he regenerated into Joanna Lumley, and the Master fell in love with him. And then it was really quite amusing. Very, very funny kind of celebrity thing. It's worth looking up on YouTube, that. When I was little, I had a book with scratch and sniff pictures of fruit, flowers, food, and so on. I was so cool for owning that. Yes.
I actually quite like Ian's rebranding of that technology, Tasty Vision. Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Buy your new 72-inch ultra-high-definition super awesome 3D with Tasty Vision TV.
Yes. This screen is lickable.
Oh, God, no. No, 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 no. So many bad things.
Amir said, they did Spy Kids in 4D last year. Yeah.
What is 4D? I don't get this
thing
about 4D.
The fourth dimension is time.
4D is like a rumbling chair or somebody squirting water at your face and blowing wind at you, or it's time, or it's Brian Cox's diary. I don't know what it is.
Brian Cox's diary, because Brian Cox is, of course, Orson Welles.
Indeed. I mean, just what is 4D?
I'm sorry if you're listening, Brian, but you are not the Lord of Time. It's really funny. There was a... being a fan of cartoons and kids' TV, in the summer I was very pleased to watch the Phineas and Ferb movie. It's the most awesome cartoon in the world at the moment. I have it on Series Link on my Sky Plus. But it's obviously an animated show, and they called theirs Phineas and Ferb in the second dimension. And they went into a different dimension on the thing, but... it was really cool, just the way they did that. Everyone was promoting their 4D films, and this one was like Inglourious 2D, which was fantastic. Nice kind of play on that. Apparently they use scratch and sniff cards for the 4D in Spy Kids 4. Enough said about that, the better, really.
I just think it's a great tragedy of mankind that somebody sanctioned more than, in fact, any Spy Kids films.
Yeah. I haven't actually seen any Spy Kids film, so calling them utter rubbish is probably unfounded, but I think they're utter rubbish.
I saw the first one. I think I've seen the first one. It was that memorable. The word that I can't currently say, it was that.
You're so shocked by the memory of it.
Yes, indeed.
Helena says, am I the only person who doesn't get Phineas and Ferb?
No, you're not. I also don't get Phineas and Ferb, so, you know...
In spite of the fact that whenever you come to my house for dinner, I make sure I put it on.
Yes.
Have you not just picked up how awesome it is, right?
I see it as an endurance test to see how long it is before I kill you.
But there are 104 days of summer vacation. And school comes along just to... Okay, I'm not going to sing the theme tune.
Yeah.
Apparently, how dare we diss Spy Kids? Because they're rubbish. My opinion, of course.
Other opinions are available.
Yeah. So, 3D. It seems that the general opinion is that it might be a bit of a gimmick.
Do you know one of the biggest driving factors behind innovations in technology is, of all industries, believe it or not, is the... pornography industry, the adult entertainment industry. They invest millions and millions, if not billions of dollars into R&D and pushing these technologies. And they've actually been behind some of the most high-profile win-loss things. So, like, way, 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 way back. The Betamax VHS argument. Securing the adult entertainment industry's backing, and you've won, because that's really a huge market. Yeah, they actually drive a lot of technical innovation. Really, really interesting. I remember seeing a whole documentary about it. It completely blew me away, because I'd always seen them as quite a small, taboo, not really into anything, but actually...
Well, I suppose when you think about the amount of revenue it draws...
Yeah, massive.
But let's not think about how 3D might benefit the adult entertainment industry, and certainly Smell-O-Vision or 4D or anything like
vision.
That. Yes, let's veer away from that topic before I gag and think about something else entirely. So we've had quite some interesting thoughts on that. George did say, let's create a 3D printer that can make 3D printers. It's like a printception.
Well, that's what RepRap's all about. The idea is that you can take a RepRap printer and make a RepRap printer from one. And I think they're like 80 or 90% self replicating. There's only a very small percentage of parts now that you actually need to get yourself. So, like, that's the whole idea behind that project, is like, I could actually make one, and you could say, hey, I want one, and I could print you one out. So yeah, we're 3D printers printing 3D printers. Fantastic. That's already there.
I like that. We're one step closer to replicators. The world is becoming a bit more like the Star Trek universe. I'm quite happy with this.
Somehow I think moulded plastic sandwiches or moulded plastic Earl Grey tea
I see a 3D printer and I'm going to walk up to one day and just go, tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Patrick Stewart, everyone. Ben's favourite impression.
That is not my Patrick Stewart.
No?
No. Okay. No, it's not. Connor has sent us a picture of him enjoying the cookies. Please tell me you didn't order ones with illegal substances in, because that's what this picture looks like.
Hang on.
He says, the cookies are amazing, and has retweeted a rather interesting-looking picture. It's just up on the Geekly Twitter account. Wow. I hope that's not a look of pain. cool. So, that's 3D.
3D, yay or nay. All vote now.
A Meta 3D printer, absolutely.
How would that work?
Can print itself.
Okay.
You get it.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's the debate around 3D, really. Lots of people think it's cool, but I think maybe it's got a long way to go. Or perhaps it doesn't have very far to go at all, and it's just going to kind of fade into the background.
Well, I suppose what's the home application for it? None for a very long time, but in industry, massive.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at getting a 3D TV for the house, and they're a lot more expensive. And I like big screens. I like having big screens. And so for me, if I went 3D, I'd have to get a smaller screen. And no, if I'm going to get a new TV, I want it bigger.
Car dealerships, that's the way forward. You go in and you say, I want that one. And they hit a button. They say, come back in half an hour. And boom, they've printed you your car.
That'd be awesome if they could actually print all of the car components.
But it's early days. I mean, give it 20 years.
That'd be brilliant.
Or
in half an hour, they've made a car.
The hoverboard shop, because we will have hoverboards in 20 years.
No, we won't have hoverboards in 20 years. According to Back to the Future, we'll have them by the year 2015.
All right, then. In 3 years.
Yeah, we'll have hoverboards. Shoes that lace themselves. Nike have already done that.
Yes.
Jackets that dry themselves.
Yeah. And you'll be able to go into the hoverboard shop and say, I want that one, and they'll print it for you.
Flying cars.
Yeah, flying cars.
Yeah.
I hope that's true. I really do.
Yeah. If I don't see Doc Brown and Marty McFly running around the streets of wherever Hill Valley is, fictionally based, then...
It's fictionally based in Hill Valley.
Yeah, wherever it is fictionally, geographically located.
Right, okay.
What part of the US is... They made a small car on the 3D printer at the place I work. It worked as a wind-up, no assembly. That's very cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. See?
It's a bit...
See?
Unless it was clowns driving it, because we all know they like to fit into very tiny cars.
Well, I mean,
it's probably not a practical use for getting around at the moment.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles with Ben and James. They're never going to give you up.
George says, why can't we just have hover food?
No.
Saves having to stop using the console computer except whilst eating. I like the idea of just having my food floating in front, a bit like those sleepy cakes.
If you want hover food, go into space and watch it float in front of your face. But earthbound hover food leads to hover poo, and that's not good.
Oh, God. I hadn't even considered that. Hover poo.
Hover poo.
How would you even manage that?
No, it would not be good.
You'd wear gloves and wear a hazard suit just to go to the toilet.
What if you ate hover Brussels sprouts? Suddenly, if you passed wind, you'd take off.
That's a good point. George, I appreciate your enthusiasm for the whole what's going to come next in the technology scene. But you haven't thought this one through.
Hover Angel Delight.
Think of
how
the
would you
hover
contain
poo.
It? Hover milk. It would just be everywhere.
Oh, true.
Imagine, I mean, you're not particularly good at throwing old milk out, so there would be congealed hover milk in your fridge.
I drink a lot of milk. We don't have old milk in the house. We have a shortage of milk in this house.
A milk famine.
I do. It's good for you.
Actually, if you follow this back down the chain, hover food leads to hover animals.
So a hover cow.
So we have hover cows.
A hover cow, brilliant. I want to see that. I want to open my curtains in the morning and see sheep floating past the window.
Pigs will actually fly. Exactly.
Brilliant. George, I like the idea of hover food, but pigs might fly.
Indeed.
There we go. A legitimate use for that statement for the first time ever.
So anyway, we did say before the song that Ben chose that we would be talking about the events that are coming up. And
James chose it.
There is a big event on both mine and Ben's calendar coming next week, which I can talk a little bit about. And there's a big event worldwide. Well, not worldwide. It's in the US. But, I mean, you know, it'll be covered worldwide coming up soon as well in the form of CES.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of other events too. And also lots of events that I'm sure you guys are attending or even organising. So tweet us now and tell us what those events are. But, James, you and I mean, I've got two different events next week, but you and I are at one of them together.
We are.
And it's huge.
It is. It is, if I remember rightly, and it certainly was the last time I checked, it is the world's largest educational technology show. It is called BETT, B-E-T-T. You can follow the hashtag on Twitter, in fact, and they have a website, bettshow.com. It's the biggest event of the year for me in terms of my other life.
You don't get out much, do you?
I don't get out much. But it's a huge event, and basically they take over. Currently it's Olympia in London, although next year it's moving. But it's where all the big names in education, and when I say the big names, I'm not just talking about the big technology names, but the big learning companies, and even some of the smaller ones as well, come together under one roof for 4 days. And people from around the world and across the UK come and find out about basically the very latest in educational technology. This will be my sixth year going, and it's just an amazing show, and it's free for attendees to go to.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to BETT a number of times. A couple of years ago, I was presenting a session at BETT as well about cloud services and education. And I mean, it's a really great event to go to look at how technology can impact teaching, which is very cool. And lots of teachers go, lots of head teachers go, lots
IT
of
people.
IT people go, but also lots of students go, which is great. And I know that that some of the people listening have gone as students to BETT. I went along to BETT in a number of different capacities. And they have lots of awesome stuff there. It's quite a cool kind of thing to just go around different stands. There's always a game of how many freebies can you pick up from the various different stands.
Oh, I have a tried and tested freebie collection method for wandering around BETT.
Rucksack and run as fast as you can.
No, you amateur. When you come in, they hand you a bag, and then you go and find another stand that gives you a bag, so you have your freebies keeping bag and your junky trashy bag. And as you go around the day, you separate your stuff out when you leave. You bin one bag.
That's brilliant.
And you have a bag full of freebies to go away with. Pens, rulers.
That is absolutely
stress
brilliant.
Stress balls, sweets.
Yeah, I still have a supply of Microsoft Office energy drinks from last year. I've got half the mugs in my cupboard are freebies that have come from BETT. I've got one of my favourite mugs is a BBC mug that I got at BETT some time ago. Yeah, there's so much awesome stuff there. There's always one stand every year that seems to have a chocolate fountain and things to dip in it, like a chocolate fondue. I spend hours at that stand. I've still got no idea what they actually do.
Considering it's a technology show, I was blown away. One year I was wandering around the top levels, because the top levels are where they have the kind of smaller stands. There was a guy selling pencils. Just that's all he had. Wooden, obviously, pencils. I thought, wow, that's amazing. And he just had this little stand to himself. I thought, that kudos to you, because, you know, you've got the likes of Microsoft and this year Google downstairs, and there's this little guy selling pencils.
Yeah, yeah. And the great thing about BETT as well is that it's free to go to. You do have to register on the website, but it's free to get in. It's at Olympia in London, so it's near Earls Court, very easy to get to, and it's fantastic. It runs for 4 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday next week.
Yeah.
And it's a great event. So if you want to just geek out over a bit of technology and also have a good bit of debate going with people on various stands about what's going on, I'm going to be at BETT on the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I'm going to be there waving my arms about like a crazy person. Mostly because they won't let me in, but no, it's I'm going to be talking about the Kinect SDK how people can write awesome apps for Kinect, and I'm going to be there basically demoing what people do. And
I will also be there. I'll be there for the whole thing.
Yeah, you're talking about stuff as well, aren't
you? I am. I'm actually up on stand presenting. So if you fancy 20 minutes of listening to me further than the time you're already listening to me.
He'll be wearing nicer clothes and talking in a professional voice as well. It'll be very ungeekly of him.
Indeed.
But a whole bunch of really cool technology there. So it's worth, if you've got any time on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, registering for a free ticket and getting along. It's a great event.
It is. If you're interested in education and technology, as I say, it's the world's biggest educational technology show.
But it's one of just two education technology shows happening in the next couple of weeks, because Learning Without Frontiers is happening as well. Now, BET and LWF are two very different events. Also at Olympia this year, Learning Without Frontiers has a whole bunch of stands, but it's all dedicated to much geekier stuff. So a lot of it is gaming and education, and a lot of it is getting young people involved in coding and that kind of thing. Young Rewired State have a stand there, there's some more cool developing on hacking about with Kinect stuff going on there too, and robots and cool mobile device stuff happening as well.
LWF's not free.
LWF is not free though. That's the thing. So BET, lots there, but it's free. Yeah. LWF is slightly smaller. Lots of very awesome stuff, but it's not free. But awesome to follow along with on Twitter as well.
I'm sure, and I will be following that hashtag very closely. So, I unfortunately won't be at LWF. I know you've been before.
Yeah, and I'm potentially popping in briefly.
But I will be at BET, as I say. I'll be there. Think of it as a Where's Wally. I won't tell you where I am, and if you come and find me, then you can say that you found me.
I'll also be at
Ben will be easier to find
because I'll be waving my arms around in front of a Kinect sensor. So that's cool. So that's BET and Learning Without Frontiers. What else is happening, James, over the next few weeks?
CES, that's happening.
Tell us about that.
It stands for Completely Entertaining Stuff.
Or the Consumer Electronics Show.
I always get them confused.
Right. What's happening at CES this year, James?
Lots of things. It is one of the, by its very name, the Consumer Electronics Show. It's where lots of things get unveiled. I think Microsoft have done the keynote there for the past 14 years or something like that.
And it's their last.
It's their last
this year.
One, yes. So it will be their last time, so I'm going to follow that keynote really, really keenly. But it's where loads of stuff gets showcased, consumer electronics, gadgets, and the kind of next generation of technology. And in the past, we've seen products being unveiled by all the major players. I've never been, though. I'd love to go. But sadly, I don't think I have the money to get out there. But maybe one day.
Yeah, one day I'd love to go to CES, just to go and have a play with all the cool stuff. Mm. It's a great event to get a hands-on. But the great thing is that all of the great tech journalists are there. So I'm sure if you check all of the various different news outlets.
There are many.
There are many. I was going to say, check The Verge, but no, let's not be favoritist.
Other news sites are available.
Then there'll be plenty of great reviews, great hands-on, and of course many of the keynotes are streamed, so it's always worth checking those out too. The keynotes are all live streamed generally. I don't know if it's through the CES website, but generally, I know the Microsoft keynote is streamed through the Microsoft website. There are a bunch of other places that you can check out.
And I'm sure loads of journalists will be live blogging it and all the rest of it.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
No, 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 no more voices.
What accent should I do next? Tweet us at Ask Geekly. Lots of events coming up. What have we had here on the Twitter feed? I'm running an awesome event with some friends called Beta Fest. Great.
Sorry, is it 1980?
Yeah, not Beta Max, oh. Beta Fest. Oh. But given as we actually have no information about what this event actually is, we can't really tell you whether it's going to be good or not. Tom says, let's do check The Verge. Yeah, we like The Verge. But other news outlets are available.
Other news outlets are available, indeed.
Indeed. Indeed.
I was looking into BetaFest, and I thought, I'll check out their Twitter account. And their Twitter account says, we're working on something awesome, stay tuned.
Indeed. So I'm not quite sure whether I threw in a sound effect there. So it'd be good to get that going. What else have we got here on Twitter? I went to BET in year 6 with The Guardian. All I remember, there was a talking robot. Yeah, he was a charming fella, handing out sweets to kids. Wait, no, that's not right. Thanks, Helena. I'm sure the robot had no ill intentions. He was just trying to placate the humans before taking over the world.
Something I saw at BET a few years ago, which I now look out for every year, and I hadn't seen them since I was in primary school. Do you remember, way back when you were in primary school, those grey, circular, kind of little things with the number pad on the top.
We used to call ours Pip.
Yeah, I can't remember what we called ours in school. But,
I do.
And you could program it to go in different directions. Room Roma, I think it was called, officially. I just thought that was a dead product. I'd never seen it. And they're live and well, and they've got some amazing stuff that you can program. So Logo, that programming, the...
Yeah, like a, like kind of like a small basic kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, FD20, RT19, all of that. You can program that stuff into these devices, and it will draw it out on the floor and do all sorts of cool little things. It's brilliant. I'm sorry, I've just seen a tweet coming. Do Brian Blessed. Stop giving Ben voices to do. He is not Brian Blessed.
Keep tweeting at us!
No. No. Brian Blessed has a foul mouther sometimes. He comes up with some very naughty words.
Only clean language!
But no, it's still going strong.
Yeah, we also had a tweet saying that you were banned from ever using that sound effect again. I control the buttons here.
It's quite depressing that Ben does control the buttons. Usually I have my my iPad and I can also control the soundboard, but this week I didn't bring it with me. Not that I could stop Ben from making these ridiculous sounds, but...
Well, no, but you could also make them too, which is quite amusing.
I could.
You've all we've had is...
Troy McClure.
Troy McClure. I don't think I can do Troy McClure. I'm not very good with American accents.
Do you know, he's the guy, I think Phil Hartman was his name. He's sadly dead.
Really?
I think so.
That's a real shame!
I'm just going to double check that, because I would hate to think that I've just said somebody's dead if they're not.
That would be an awful thing to do. So what other events are coming up? Do tweet at us. Also, tweet in your predictions, things that you think are going to happen. George just said giant pizzas.
What, giant pizzas are going to happen?
Are they going to take over the world?
She's obviously never seen where I order my pizzas from.
He, indeed.
Sorry, I sorry.
But, it's...
Incidentally, just for clarity, Phil Hartman is—he died in 1998.
You said that with a smile on your face. That's really mean.
Awful. That's terrible. He played some of my favourite characters on The Simpsons. So, but anyway, yes.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I can't do Troy McClure Benedict. I'm afraid. But apparently, my Brian Blessed was great.
So. Did I see a rumour? Speaking of the name Benedict, did I see a rumour that Benedict Cumberbatch is something to do with a new Star Trek film?
So I saw that Benedict Cumberbatch. Obviously, can't say long surnames. Is indeed rumoured to be involved
so
in the Star Trek film.
I watched Sherlock for the first time, and I had no idea what it was about, thought it was going to be rubbish, and was completely blown away by it.
It's a really great adaptation of it, isn't it? So, Stephen Moffat is such a fantastic writer.
So to see him associated with Star Trek, my favourite science fiction television programme,
Now, if only we
happy.
Could get Stephen Moffat to write the script for the next Star Trek movie.
No, because it would be far too like other stuff.
Captain, what's happened? I've walked into a box and there's an entire bridge. Yeah, it's bigger on the inside, Enterprise.
Yeah, don't get me started on new Doctor Who, because we'll fall out.
We will fall out because you have no taste.
I have perfect taste.
You have no taste.
My favourite Doctor is John Pertwee.
I agree that John Pertwee is a great Doctor. I also think that Tom Baker was a fantastic Doctor. I also really like Peter Davidson. I also happen to like David Tennant and Matt Smith.
Hmm... And we're just going to leave that there.
And you always accuse me of favouritism. It's not.
Not favouritism?
No.
No. You've met Matt Smith, haven't you?
Yes.
Lucky, lucky man.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, you actually got to meet Karen Gillan. That's why you're a lucky man. But anyway.
Personally, was more excited about Matt Smith. Did you just rate Star Trek over Doctor Who? I
did. Star Trek is much better than Doctor Who. Hate me for it if you like, but I love it. Ben likes Doctor Who, though, so, you know.
I love Doctor Who. I do.
If you can put up with his voices, then you can...
What's wrong with my voices?
They're all weird.
What define weird?
You.
You be listening to The Geekly Chronicles, a Geekly production by Ben Nunney and James Marshall, engineered and recorded by Alex Livier and the team at Studio 2. Check us out online at www.geeklychronicles.com.